Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Hashtag Yes, My Investing Story. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil and I am the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I am very excited again this week to be on sharing with you another phenomenal guest. Well, let's talk a little bit about Better Investing. And Better Investing is a national organization, not-for-profit organization, 501c3 to be exact. The organization has helped over 5 million individuals learn how to invest and the period of time that the organization has been around it. So what you're going to hear is another story from another volunteer. And our special guest today is none other than Candace Baker. And to just share a little bit about Candace, Candace is currently a director and she's treasurer of the St. Louis chapter of Better Investing. She received an O'Hare Service Award for her contribution to her chapter in 2018. She also graduated from the University of California, Riverside in 1968 with a degree in math. But she joined Better Investing in 1997. Now, you're talking about a committed, real committed volunteer here, where she helped to reorganize the Great Scott Investment Club in O'Fallon, Illinois. She has remained in the club as a treasurer to this day. And I want to just tip my hat to you, Candace, because that's a major undertaking, but we'll hear about that a little bit later. Yeah. Also, Candace, what I really enjoyed about reading your bio is when you talked about the fact that you helped to start Model Club for St. Louis and also started Let's Talk Stocks, discussing group for the group chapters and also classes on the go, which is also called classes to go. So we're very excited to have you. And as we talked just a little bit before the program started, you know, Ione does a phenomenal job in interviewing. So I am going to welcome Ione again to the show. And so we can go ahead and start our interview. Good afternoon, Ione. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
So I'm excited to have Ms. Candace Baker on. Today's shout out actually goes to, the name slipped me. Actually, two shout outs. The first shout out is the Synergy Investment Club. They are a Better Investing Club that actually just reached their first year mark a few weeks ago, so amazing to them. But I was recommended to Candace Baker by a friend, Sharon Jackson. The name was slipping me. But Sharon spoke highly of Candace. She's in our Better Investing South Florida Model Club, but she also is in the St. Louis area and visits the Better Investing St. Louis chapter frequently, and invited me to the model club, to the board meeting, and that's how I became acquainted with Candace Baker. So how are you, Candace?
Just fine. Thank you very much.
So I want to start with how you grew up and if money was talked about in your household, because I want to, you know, hear from the beginning, you know, your relationship with money as a child and then growing up, were you later exposed to savings and investing?
Okay. Well, actually, my father, as well as my husband, was in the Air Force. So I grew up moving a lot. And as far as back to money, I know I probably got an allowance. Can't remember exactly much. But I do remember that my dad insisted that I have a passbook savings account so that money always went in there. So, you know, I guess I was introduced to saving money at that point. And then once I got my first job, probably transferred that money over and started to save and figure out what earnings is and how much the government takes from you and everything else. So that's pretty much my background. My dad did not invest at all that I can remember, but he was also a child of the 20s when
the depression.
He was the child of the depression, so he was extremely worried about that and wanted to keep his money just in CDs and savings account and that type of thing. I think maybe once as he got older, he did invest in, you know, somebody gave him a tip on something and he invested and didn't really make any money, and so there was really no information about investing in my background, pretty much. Even after I got married, we just more or less, you know, put money in CDs and things. So that's pretty much up until I joined Better Investing. I knew nothing when I joined Better Investing.
So where were you in your lifespan when you joined BI? And that's actually a great entry point because you didn't learn about investing before BI.
No. Not at all. I mean, I was, you know, I was had a degree in mathematics, and I seemed like I was always treasurer of organizations that I belonged to. And when we moved, we actually have been in this area. My husband was stationed here twice, and then he came back after he retired. The company he went to work for sent us back here. So we moved to this area three times. And people, you see familiar, even though it's the Air Force and you're moving a lot, you have a lot of friends that you bump into. And so someone came up to me in actually late 1996 and asked me if I would like to help reorganize a club. It didn't need reorganizing as much as it got started and they had a partnership agreement. And then because of the military background, people started to move away or they got assignments. And so you really need people who are staying around, and there were a few whose husbands were retiring and things, and so she asked them to help to keep it going, you know, at that time.
So your introduction to investing was somebody asking you to help out an investment club.
Right, as a treasurer, right. And, you know, that was 1996 and 97, and what really started it all was the Beardstown Ladies book on Common Sense Investing Guide. And I think everybody did it in there. When I had been at bank before, talking to people and say, how did your club start or how old are you? And there's so many that started, and especially women's clubs that started in 96 and 97 because of that, the Beardstown Ladies. It was kind of like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And of course, the stock market was doing really well. So unfortunately, I think we were successful without sometimes knowing what we were doing at that point. But yeah, it was the Beardstown Ladies and that was our first introduction. Everybody in the club was relatively new. Some had some investing background, but we all started by reading that book. And of course, they recommend that you join NEIC at that time, which is now Better Investing, which we did. So we've always been an NEIC club.
Is it possible to kind of slow, and I don't know if you remember these details, but it sounded like there was already an existing club. You were invited to join the club. So could you talk to us a little bit about that process of joining an existing club? Was a part of the process reading that book?
Yes. Yeah.
Before you were even admitted?
Oh, no. Like I said, there was a partnership agreement, and that they had some ladies there. And then when it came time to actually put money in to do something, they didn't do that because maybe they were being transferred someplace else or moving. And so there was only maybe half of the people that were committed. So then they were trying to find other people who might help out to keep the club going. And that's when I started with them. But I didn't know anything at the time. And we all read the book and got started that way.
So you kind of entered the club in a revival stage of the club.
Yeah. And I, to be honest, I didn't know anything about it. When I say I knew zero, I knew zero. And then they said, I said, how much are the dues? It was $30. And I thought, well, for heaven's sake, I could probably blow $30, you know, in a month taking a class or going out to eat or something like that. So if I lose spent money that I put in every month, I haven't lost anything. So I guess I started out thinking that, you know, $30, that's not much, and we'll see. I didn't have any confidence that I would learn and be where I am today from it. But it was expensive and a good way to start.
That sounds good. When you were reading the book at the club, was it, you know, one chapter a month? Do you remember how the club together progressed in reading the book, maybe discussing it at club meetings? Could you give us a little detail about that?
I think we probably went, you know, chapter by chapter and just kind of getting the basics. And then, of course, they were recommended Better Investing, and we signed up for Better Investing or NAIC at that time and became a Better Investing club. And then we just started through how to do, in those days, a stock selection guide on paper with paper and pencils. And we kind of read the book going by that. And then the chapter offered classes. So I took some classes from the chapter, and I came back and then taught the other members of the club. And so we took it just one step at a time and one chapter at a time and kind of progressed from there.
So it was kind of like your textbook for learning and growing together.
And then also after, you know, kind of going through that, we did get the book that NAIC had about starting an investment club, and we followed through that.
There are a lot of people listening that may be interested in joining an investment club or starting an investment club. Can you talk to us a little bit about the realistic timeline or time frame of how long it takes to learn, how long it takes to gel, how long it takes to feel comfortable and confident? Because I think sometimes we can jump into this process and expect, within a year, I should know all of this stuff.
Yeah. No, it is a slow process, for sure. I think the biggest thing is education and just taking as many classes as you can, but starting with just the basics, depending on the knowledge of the people that are in the club. But it does take time. I mean, you can take as many classes. I remember listening to one of the Beardstown ladies. I'm lucky enough that their chapter is 45 minutes. They have meetings about 45 minutes from where I am. So I could go to their educational fairs and listen to them. But one of the things they said was take as many classes as you can on the stock selection guide. You were going to learn something from every single one, even though it's repetitive. One thing will stick one time and another thing will come out another. So it is a slow process. I think with the online stock selection guide now, it's a little bit easier. You have the core, you know, which helps you explain it. But I think they have some things like with member sentiments, you know, it makes it a little easier to make the judgments and things like that. But back when I started, as I said, we did it by paper with pencil, and that was a tedious, tedious thing. And I know as soon as we found out there was software with Toolkit, we all got Toolkit and started from there. But just like you say, I know of clubs that jump in, they pool their money and they want to invest right away. And I say, oh, no, you know, wait at least 6 months. You've got to get a good background and a feel for, you know, you want to buy quality and you want to pay a fair price for it. And you've got to have some education before you're able to do that. I think they get a little impatient, but it does just takes time. Whoops, I just lost. I lost the picture here of Ione. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Oh, okay, I got you back.
Okay. Yeah. So, are you still a member of this club now?
Yes. We're 26 years now.
Wow.
That's beautiful. We got our 25 certificate, yeah.
And are you one of those Better Investing members that is in more than one club?
Well, I am because I'm in the chapter model club. And then, like I said, at one time, I also had an Illinois club. So I was at three at one time. But we have several people on the board who are in two or three clubs. So not unusual.
So talk to us a little bit about why you felt it was important to even be in more than one club.
I guess for me, it was, especially with the model clubs, it was there again about teaching people what a model, what a club is all about and how to start. And because those are open to the public, then people can see how a club works and they can come and visit as often as they want without actually joining a club. So I think it was all about spreading the education and trying to show people what we do and why we do it.
One question I want to kind of bring back up is I know you joined or started investing by joining an existing club and reading the Biz Town Ladies book. Could you, if you don't mind sharing, what part of your life did you join? Age range, pre-retirement?
Well, I was 50 at the time, and I am so sorry that I didn't do this 20 years prior to that. I was sorry I hadn't been exposed to it and really didn't know where to begin because I just felt like it was a little bit late in my life to just start learning. But I guess it's never too late. But I wish I had started 20 or 30 years even more. I wish they would have kids in school, you know, exposed more to investing.
Did you feel discouraged at all being about 50 and just starting to learn this information? And if so, what did you do to help keep hope alive, in a sense, to stay engaged and encouraged?
You know, I really wasn't discouraged. It just was something new that I just got excited about and became passionate about. And so I didn't look back other than to say, I wish I'd started earlier because, it would have been nice to have made more money, I guess, if I had started early. It's always the time in the market. And so I can't say I was discouraged. I was just excited that I finally learned, you know, how to invest.
Excellent. Were there any other books that you came across and read during your 20-year investment journey that you thought was also pivotal in learning?
The one book besides the, you know, the Beardstown Lady book, that Main Street Millionaires, which is the story of Tom O'Hara, I thought that was very interesting because I knew of the organization, obviously, and everything about it, but not really so much how it started. And I think that's kind of inspirational to think, you know, that all that he did and the 10 years prior to Better Investing or NAIC being formed, it was kind of good to read that, and that was back in World War II, and yet the gentlemen that were in it just kept putting their money in, even if they were overseas or whatever, and they kept it going. So I thought that was kind of inspirational.
Very nice. Ms. Ann?
And, of course, I was on mute.
Oh.
I think this is the Zoom world that we live in. But I'm curious to know about family. And are you sharing the love of Better Investing with your family?
Well, I have just one daughter, and I try to share with her, and she is perfectly content to have her money in an S&P 500. She's so busy with work, and, you know, it's like she just can't find the time to do all of that. So, you know, I keep talking about it and I tell her things, but I don't think she's going to come around to it. So, and my family is kind of small. Actually, I only have, it's my daughter and I and a few in-laws. My husband passed away a few years ago and my father and mother are both gone. And so I try to share it with everybody that, you know, I know of or can talk to, but I kind of failed with my daughter, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know if you failed because she is in the S&P.
That's true. She does have investments, but she doesn't want to learn about individual stocks or anything. So she knows, yes, she does. At least she has her 401k and her Roth IRAs, and she's invested even though it's conservatively.
Absolutely. So then that helps us to understand why you are such a giver. And to receive the Tom O'Hara Award, what was that like for you when you received that honor?
Oh, well, that was really exciting. I mean, I had, I guess it was humbling in that, you know, that you're recommended by all the people in your chapter and they have written letters and things, which I had no idea. So that was really special that they recognized what I had done for the chapter, because I did it because I loved doing it, you know, didn't anticipate that at all. So it was very special. And I think especially the Thomas O'Hara one, because I had actually had lunch with Thomas O'Hara and his wife at one of the conventions. I used to go to CompuFest before they had Bink, and I believe it was at a CompuFest, and I just happened to be seated at their table and got my picture taken with him and had nice conversations, so that made it special.
Well, that's like gold right about now to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one of my Tom O'Hara stories, the only one, actually, when he would come to the conference and he would actually sit in on a session and talk about his club, and he would literally hand out copies of his portfolio.
Is that right?
Yes, and I remember the last time, this was maybe a year before he passed, he did that, and the club portfolio at that time sitting on $12 million. Inside the portfolio, and that's after many of the members had taken out millions during the years.
Oh, yeah.
They were actually together, and I just thought that that was so amazing, and they were still only putting in, I think it was something like $25 or $30 at the time.
Yeah.
So when you really
it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to get started. That's the marvelous part about it.
And it's a function of time.
Yeah.
So when you really look at the power that the time has and the power of investing, it the power of compound interest really does work, but it depends on us really being able to work it. My question, though, I'd like to ask before I only take like this microphone opportunity.
Okay.
But I'd like to have you share, I'm just curious, between your mom and dad and growing up during your time, and Ann Newman, thank you for your comment. Ann Newman in the chat made this comment. She said, it almost seems like 50-ish is a common age in our lives when for whatever reason we get a break in our lives or start to be more forward-looking. It happened for her too. But I'd like to involve more younger people to learn earlier. And so I think that, you know, when you look at how you started, and like you say, you were in your 50s, what are your thoughts about younger people in terms of going to her point and the people that you're volunteering to help currently to share the knowledge and the wisdom of investing?
Well, I mean, we're always looking to try to get younger people in because we realize, you know, it is time in the market and you can do it with so little, and it's wonderful how you can benefit from that compounding. So we try to attract people as young as we possibly can. I think most of the clubs, though, it tends to be older people, as you say. I think a lot of people started in their 50s and 60s, and now we've been doing it you know, for 20 or 25 years or so. And it's hard to attract the younger people. I think they feel it's going to take too much of their time or, and it really, comments I say maybe they don't have the money to do, but if it's $30 a month, I think anybody can do that. And I think even though it does take some time and a little bit of discipline, you know, to learn, but with better investing than the one-hour webinars, you can do an hour here, an hour there, and learn. And so I wish more young people would be involved, and we try to attract them. And we have some who have joined, like, our model club, whose parents were in better investing. And so we've seen several of those. So they learned at a young age about it, but attracting other young people has been a challenge.
Well, I don't know if you remember when Better Investing used to have the youth program on the Saturday during NAIC conference or the Bink.
Yes, I do.
So that age was actually I want to call it almost babysitting age. So that age was, you know, you could have from 7, 8, 9 year olds up until high school age. And so what are your thoughts about possibly maybe creating something in your chapter to reach out to that age group?
I mean, I think it would be a great idea. We have in the past had a director who was working with some high schools and other schools, you know, trying to set up classes. But for some reason, we were never very successful. We couldn't get the schools to cooperate or to do things. And so, and now we really don't have as many chapter directors, you know, who are to do the work that needs to be done. And so that's kind of a program that's fallen by the wayside, sad to say. But, yeah, I wish we could find some bond with the schools that we could introduce these ideas to younger people. Yeah. Our particular chapter hasn't had good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you. Ione, I'm not sure if you were coming off mute, but okay. All right, but what I wanted to just come back to that, because what we're finding is that the earlier we get them started, before they have other interests in their lives, such as cell phones, cars, extracurricular activities, but as we get them earlier, they catch it quicker.
Oh, I can believe that.
And oftentimes, it might even be a matter of family or church. And the other thing that we're finding, too, is that it's easier to connect with the youth within an existing structure. So Boys and Girls Club, Bible study, Children Church, those organizations that have leadership. And then, it's, you know, you can bring a program into that group versus trying to go into the school. Because in the school,
yeah.
They're continuing to move up another grade. So now you start with one group, and before you, by the time you circle back around, get to the next grade, now you start all over. So those are just some thoughts and things that we're finding.
Oh, I think that would be great, yeah.
Yeah, now the other thing that we're finding, too, is we participate and work with our local money show. I'm not sure if you have one in your area.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, but are you familiar with the money show?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes, we're finding that organizations like that, they're now creating their own youth investment program. They call it the Money Show University. And what they do, yes, and what they do is they take a day and they get busloads of students, probably about 800-900 students from the local areas, and they bus them in for the day. At the convention, and then they schedule in a day, an entire day of activities, and Bet Investing is one of the organizations that presents.
Yes, I knew that they presented. I didn't realize they had the youth program. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, it's an entire day, and it actually grew out of the fact that for over 20 years, we were taking youth to that program, and out of 2,000 people, we were the only group that had kids there. And the lady's name is Kim that founded the organization. Eventually, she started realizing that the youth is a target market also for them.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it's just been phenomenal. But I'll turn the program back over to you. I see you've leaned back in your seat now, so I'm not sure if she can hear me. Can you hear me, Ione?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can hear you.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. So Candace, going back to your investing story, we started learning how to invest. I know you mentioned that it was exciting because it was something new. Did you start with a certain goal, or did you actually end up developing, let's say, financial goals after a while?
I think probably after a while I did, not at the beginning. Like I said, at the very beginning, I was convinced I probably would lose all my money. but after a while, you know, realizing how I was making money and then having a goal to save up to do traveling or to do different things with the home, you know, that I wanted to do. But it started after that, once I realized I really could learn how to invest wisely.
Right. How long do you think it took you to kind of change your perspective? 3 years, 5 years?
Probably about 2 or 3 years.
And that's consistent investing with, that's consistent investing in the investment club.
Correct.
And how soon did you start taking what you learned in your investment club to your own personal portfolio?
I think it was maybe about a year or two. A friend and I opened accounts at, I don't know if it was TD Ameritrade. It was another thing, and then we transferred to TD Ameritrade. But we each opened that, and we did pretty well. And then we each talked our husbands into giving us some more money, and they let us invest that. And so we did. But it was just a couple of years, and then started on our own and taking the things that we learned in our own investment club, the things that we bought, and doing it personally for the things that we wanted.
So are you currently retired?
As I said before, we moved so much that I kind of worked off and on doing accounting different places. And then when we lived in Virginia, I worked for Navy Federal Credit Union at the headquarters in Vienna, Virginia, in accounting program. And then we moved here. And then we moved here in 1996. So I was just getting settled in, you know, and at the end of, we moved in January, and then it was in October, I think, that I was approached to help reorganize the Great Scott Investment Club. So.
We have a question in the chat asking, did you influence your husband in his investing?
No, he actually gave his money to me and said, you do it. So he kind of turned it over to me is what he did.
Very nice. Could you talk to us a little bit about, and again, I don't know how long ago you became a widow, but I would love for people to just kind of hear about how you started your investing journey at 50 and how your investment success helped to shape your retirement options after a while, because I think people should know that if you do this correctly, you can actually have more choices later in life.
Yes, as you know, it compounded the little bit that I started with and kept going. So after I became a widow, and I, because of my husband's pension, I was pretty safe there. But so I could use that other money. I had to, you know, sell my home and buy a new home, so I had some money to do that. And then I really wanted to travel, and so. My investing has made it comfortable for retirement that I can do some of the fun things that I would like to do because of all that savings.
Could you talk to us a little bit about your comfort level investing in stocks instead of relying on the options that many financial advisors and just the financial world as a whole says you should be investing in based on your age? I don't know if you have annuities. I don't know if you have bonds. But could you just speak a little bit to how your knowledge is really influencing and grounding your confidence in being able to take a different route that may, from your perspective, not be as risky, but to other people's may be risky?
I guess after a while, I just became more confident in what I was doing. And then I would hear stories about the commissions, you know, that the brokers and everybody would take. Of course, now it's pretty easy with online, but still some of them, the fees are so high. And then I am kind of a advocate. Well, I like listening to CNBC in the morning. So I hear people recommending stocks and things, and then I would research them and I would think, what in the world are they thinking of? You know, I mean, so I got the idea that maybe this process with better investing, that it was a really good one, that it was good, safe investing, that where you could sleep at night instead of just trading and things like that. So I think I felt more comfortable that I was saving money and doing it on my own, and that at a certain point, maybe I knew as much as they did, or in some cases, I think more, you know, because I think sometimes they just get a list and, you know, recommend something, and it's not necessarily the best place to put your money. So it kind of helped just hearing stories and from other people and that invested with different brokerages and things. And I never did really go that route. I did before I left Virginia, so it was before I even heard of Better Investing. I was talked into an annuity at one time, which I have not been real happy with through the years. So it's just, I guess, experience and stories from other people. But I thought, well, I'm doing okay, and I'm not paying high fees to do it.
Are you open to sharing your annuity situation, just because I think it may be insightful for people to really understand what an annuity is from somebody that is a stock investor and not somebody that's just trying to sell them on an annuity? Maybe you could probably use some basic language.
Just the basic thing is that the fees are so high with an annuity, you know, and they get their fees right off the top. That bothered me, and it's really difficult to get your money out. Once you've got it, it's kind of stuck in there unless you're going to pay some penalties, and some, you know, depends on the annuity, but it might be 15 years before you could take anything out without paying a penalty on it. So I think it's the inflexibility of it plus the high fees that they take for it. I know for some people, you know, who are interested in investing and learning, you know, maybe that's fine. And it does, if you go ahead and go into the mode where you get a certain amount of money every month and turn those funds over, that can be attractive. But in my case, I wasn't going to do that. And I just would have wished that I had taken that money and invested it someplace else that I had more control over.
Yeah, and I think what I may be hearing you say is that an annuity sounds attractive to those that don't know a better way to have a safe income later in life, correct?
Right. And I think there are a lot of people out there that really push annuities. You know, I mean, it sounds good, but they're making high fees on the other side, and that's why it's attractive for them to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you used that example, because it makes me think of the interest example I use with kids to help them understand, you know, how banks make money. You know, they take money from regular people in their savings account, and they give you less than 1%. But different type of people come into that same bank, and they have to pay 7, 10, 15%. To borrow money, whether it be a mortgage, a car loan, a student loan.
Yep.
And so, you know, what you're really explaining is, because where you're buying the annuity from, they know how to make money off of that money.
Right.
So they're guaranteeing you a set amount, but because they have a different knowledge base than you, they're able to make, you know, probably 5 times the amount of money that they're securing you.
Right.
On a monthly basis.
Right, I agree.
One question I had was, how has investing changed your perspective on money and also your worldview as a person?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's a difficult question. I'm not quite sure where to go with that one. I don't know that it's, well, maybe it has changed my view in that through learning how to invest like this, I have gotten a lot more knowledge in companies and how government actually, things that happen in the government affect companies and your investing. And I really have enjoyed learning how companies work. It was really strange, and this was a long time before I even heard of Better Investing too, but I can remember traveling on an airplane, and in those days they would walk around and hand out magazines to everybody, and I happened to be sitting on a flight and I was at the back, and by the time they got to me, I was looking for, you know, Home and Garden or something like that, and the only thing left was Business Week. And so I thought, well, I'll take it and read this, and I was really fascinated with the stories of how businesses make money and what affects them and everything. And so I have had a curiosity with that. And I think through better investing and studying companies, I really enjoy seeing the connection between, I guess, the federal government and decisions that are made there and what's happening in the world and the companies and whatever. So I guess it's my investing has helped me there.
And maybe even realizing the difference between being a share owner and just being a regular employee?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I want to bring up, because when I attended one of the St. Louis chapter, Better Investing St. Louis chapter educational events, I was really amazed at the level of knowledge beyond the SSG that almost all the directors had, or at least those that were participating in the educational event. could you talk to us a little bit about that kind of growth process of, yes, learning the SSG, started by hand, you know, you went to the computerized toolkit, now you're probably on, you know, BI online tools. But could you talk to us about maybe how you're possibly going to the company website and, you know, pulling up the 10K and the 10Q? Could you talk to us a little bit about how your research process has evolved over time by being a Better Investing member and just kind of being connected and learning from other members and presenters?
Well, I think in the beginning, we probably were all dedicated to always looking at a Value Line Report or S&P, since they were independent, and got a lot of knowledge on that about the companies. It's been great as we are using computers more, and especially with the online SSG, it's so easy with the links. Well, and toolkit as well, that you can go right to the company website. And to do presentations, you know, I like to look at their presentations to investors to get some ideas how the company works. But you just, there's no end to all the information that's out there right now. And like you say, the 10Ks and the 10Qs, and when earnings come out, I like to read the earnings announcements, you know, and how they made money or didn't make money and why, and what's happening. So
do you have some favorite BI presenters, just to give people a reference point when they go to the BI website? They can type this in maybe in the video learning library, but are there some presenters that kind of stick out in your mind?
Well, there are several. Some of my favorite, Ann Cunez is one of my favorite people. I like her programs with Ticker Talk and Stock Up, and of course, and when I go to bank, I usually take most of her classes. I enjoy them. I like Mark Robertson and Ken Kabula a lot. Doug Gerlach, we've had him visit the St. Louis chapter several times and enjoy his presentations as well.
Excellent. What would be the one thing you would recommend a new investor and also a new Better Investing member to do to get started?
Well, I mean, I guess it sounds like self-promotion, but I think join Better Investing right off the bat. And I mean, like I say, back when I started, I had to go and attend classes that were offered by the chapter, you know, and travel into St. Louis. Now it is just a click away, you know, at an hour at a time. So I think the best thing would be to join Better Investing, go on the website, take advantage of all the webinars and education that's available on there. And, of course, a lot of that is now on YouTube as well, that you can go over and do it. So just keep doing that.
Thank you. Ms. Ann?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have to make sure I remember to come off mute. I want to go to a question that was in the chat, and the other Ann has been very helpful and very involved in a lot of the questions. But she asked a question early on when you talked about the Beerstown Ladies book, and her question was centered around whether or not you used that book early on for your education portions of the meeting.
Yes, we did. We all read it, you know, a chapter at a time to go through so that we were all on the same page and follow their recommendations. And that's really it was kind of like, if they can do it, we can do it. And that's what got us started.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it just gave us the momentum to keep going and studying. I mean, it was, and the stock market then was exciting too. You know, there were a lot of things going up. Like I said, sometimes you didn't even have to know how to invest to make money. It was kind of like you bought on the dip and it just kept going. You know, of course, that fell apart in 2000. Anyway, and it was fun at the time, but it was exciting because everybody was getting into it, I think. And the fact that they were just ladies that got together and said, if we can do it, you can do it. And I think that was a good point that they came across with. And like I say, I was lucky enough that they are in, I'm only 45 minutes from their chapter and where they do education webinars. Well, not just webinars, but educational sessions that I used to attend. And to see them, and they usually had a mock investment club, and they always had different recommendations and suggestions. And they do have, and I don't mind if, I mean, I hope you don't mind. I wanted to share one thing. There was a book that I picked up at one of those times, and it was the Beardstown Ladies, a little book of investment wisdom. And whenever I go to visit a women's club for the first time, I share this one page, so I thought I would share it with you. It's want what you have what you need. And it said, Ann Weber, who was a member, likes to share what every woman needs. From birth to 18, she needs good parents. From 18 to 30, she needs good looks. From 30 to 50, she needs a good personality. But from 50 on, she had better have good investments.
Can you show turn that book around so we can see the cover?
I don't know.
Okay, everybody, you see this? The Beardstown Ladies Investment Club. It is the little book of investment wisdom. And we're going to give a shout out to the authors because this is my first time hearing about this book. So, Michelle, if we can put that in the chat. Thank you so very much, Candace. That is great. I was going to ask, I'm glad you shared that because I was going to ask, what's one of your favorite Beardstown Lady stories? Now, this was before you showed the book, and then I was going to ask the question because one of my favorites was when they, I forget which member it was that talked about, she presented Walmart to the group, and they decided against buying it. So she went home and personally bought it. And in no time at all, she used some of her investments from Walmart and bought a brand new car and drove up to the group.
That's a great
Everybody
book.
Wanted to know, you know. And then she just, you know, listen, you know, this is, you know, but was there one particular story that you liked most? For those of you that are listening, we're talking about the Beardstown Women's. Got to investing. They talk about how to start and run a successful investment club. And what they did in the book in the beginning, they each told their own story in the very beginning. And they gave a recipe, their favorite recipe, and then they got into the chapter. So was there a particular story that you liked most?
You know, to be honest, I can't really remember that right now. And I loaned my book to someone and never got it back. So
really?
The one that I had originally where I could review it. So that's been 25 years, so I can't remember any individual story. But I know, I had met some of them at CompuFest and Bank. Betty Sinuk, I know I've sat with her, you know, at meals and things. And just listening to the general stories, like you say, you've got a great story there. And I love that quote that I have. And I think the only other thing that word of wisdom from them was when I went to one of the education fairs where they had kind of a mock investment club, and one of the members said, you know, you think you'll learn the stock selection guide by taking one class, but she said you just keep taking it and taking it and taking it. She said you'll be amazed. You'll pick up something new every time you do. So do it as many times as you can. So. I'm kind of stuck with that, and I try to share that with other people. Don't give up, you know, if it seems a little difficult at first, because it's just a process, and it just takes a little time and some commitment that you want to learn how to do it. But it's not that hard. And I think the online SSG has made it a lot easier for those, especially when you don't have to do it by hand.
Exactly. Well, I will tell you, I am definitely one of those individuals that just keep sitting around. I'm not as consistent as some others. We won't call any names here, Ione. But I just keep, you know, sitting around and sitting around and sitting around, because it not only there's so much to learn, it's so much to do.
Yeah. And it does take a commitment. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And with that, when you start a club, and I'll just say there's a couple of clubs that I've been blessed to be involved in, I can tell you we probably spent almost the first year, honestly, just between the name and the incorporation and the officers and the bylaws and the partnership agreement and, you know, trying to get everybody on the same page just to start the group.
Yeah. I would agree with that. In my particular case, that part was done. So we got to start right with investing. But you're absolutely right, because there's a lot to do in preparing that partnership agreement, making sure everybody understands everything.
Yes. And then the research that you do and looking at other clubs that exist and how did they set up the partnership? How did they set up the bylaws? And I know one of the things that we did in our club, we were very fortunate to have a group of ladies, Patricia Edwards, I'm not sure if she's listening, but her club, Beanstalk, the name of the club is Beanstalk, and they started a club in our chapter and just kept helping other clubs in the chapter to start. And they wrote a book also on the same format as the Beerstown, which they took each member and they told a little story. And then they got into talking about how they, you know, how you start your agenda and all of those things. But my question for you is, if you could think of one of your favorite stories from attending the national conference or CompuFest, what would that be?
Oh, goodness.
Yes, at least one story.
Oh, at least one story. I just can't think of a particular story. I just, you know, loved going and learning and took as many classes as I possibly could. And of course, once I was a director, volunteering, you know, to work in the computer room and help other people and share things with that. But I don't know, you hear a million and one stories and everybody says, well, when did your club start and when did you do that? And we found out we all started about the same time. And
probably right around the time the book was written.
Exactly. Yeah, it was.
Because I think the organization, exactly, I think the organization had a boom in membership after that book was written. And so I just share one of the stories. For me, we take the kids, you know, and we've been doing it now, like I said, for over 20 years to the conference. And I just remember one story where we were sitting in the lobby and we had, you know, a group of kids, maybe about four or five kids with us at the time, and the others were in a session or sitting, you know, with the, you know, we used to have a computer room where you can go and sit and have questions answered. And so we're sitting there, and we had a couple of students that were about 8 or 9 years old. And I always remember this lady, older lady, she came and sat down next to one of the little girls, and she said, honey, I know you don't, you don't really understand why you're here or what you're doing, but whatever you do, just keep coming. And she said, when I was a little girl, now this lady, I don't know what her age was, but she probably was either in her 70s or 80s. And she shared with this little girl. Now, of course, the adults are leaning in and we're listening. And she said, when I was a little girl, my father bought one share of Exxon, the company, one share at my birth, and gave it to my mother. And right now, at my age, I am still living off the residuals from that one share. My mom never bought another. Never. And she said, and after a while, we even used the money for a deposit. My husband and I, we got married with the money for a deposit on a brand new house, but we never, listen, by that point, all of us are leaning in because we're all new and we really didn't quite understand in the very beginning what we're getting involved in. And so I shared that because, again, we can learn about the SSG. We can learn about the portfolio. We can learn about how to analyze. But it is that community of people like yourself as volunteers and so many people that we meet. And interestingly, we're all total strangers.
Yes.
Do you ever feel that way? Or what are your thoughts about that in terms of meeting people that you don't know? And then all of a sudden, it's like you've known each other.
Right. Right. You've got the common bond with that. As you were telling your story, I didn't hear this at bank, but we had a member of our club and maybe 20 or 30 years ago, she was working in a bank in the local area, and she was people would make a deposit and she had to count it up and put it away. And she said that there was this company that came into town. It was brand new. And they kept bringing in bags of money every day. And she kept saying, what in the world are they doing? She had never seen anything from a business at all. And so she said it was Walmart. She said, I'm going to go check out Walmart and see what that is. She said, they are dumping money in the bank every single day. She'd never seen anything like it. So she went and checked it out and talked to her brother who was in investing. And so she invested in Walmart way back at the very beginning before we even knew what Walmart was. And she actually put all of her children through college with the money that she made on that initial investment, just from seeing that here's something new and there are a lot of people really interested in it. And she decided to take a chance on it and paid off big time.
Absolutely. It's amazing. And oftentimes we really, sometimes we don't act on what we hear. But let me just take a moment and just remind everybody who's listening that we are, I'm laughing because I've gotten so excited. I just have to make sure that for those who came on a little bit late, and I'm wondering, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Who are we talking to? And I just want to let people know that we're very excited to have as our guest tonight Ms. Candace Baker. And she's currently a volunteer with Zed Investing, actually a director in the St. Louis chapter. And so, Candace, I think we have a lot in common. I didn't mention that we started our club also from the Beardstown Ladies book and around the same time. That was the first club that I was involved in. But I also want to just make sure we let our listeners, because this is a podcast and people will be listening in the future, but we're all volunteers with Better Investing. And I mentioned when we started that Better Investing actually was formed in 1951 as a not-for-profit organization under the name of the National Investors Corporation. And so currently it's still a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and it's helped over 5 million investors. But we want to encourage all of you to consider joining us, those who are interested in learning more. You can go to the website and you can join us at our 70th anniversary. Actually, it's going to be held on October 21st through the 24th. In Dallas at the Western Dallas Park Central. And for those of you that are trying to figure out, this investing idea and you're a beginner or you want to learn more, we are also hosting on that Saturday a financial empowerment seminar. And it is free. It is an empowerment seminar that will be held on Saturday, October the 23rd from 7:30, light breakfast, and we'll wrap up at about 3:30. And you can register by going to Eventbrite and just searching the name Better Investing, a financial empowerment seminar. But you can also register for the Better Investing conference, which we also call BINC, by going to betterinvesting.org. But before we wrap up, Candace, I would love to have you share any kind of closing remarks. and anything that you'd like to encourage our audience to do. Thank you.
I guess I can just say that not to be afraid of doing it. You know, it's you don't have to have much of an investment to get started. It's just a small amount of money, and just stick with it. Don't give up. You know, if you don't get it right at the beginning, it just takes a little bit of time, but you'll get it. It won't take that long, and you will really bear the fruits of all that you've learned from that. And so just start small, but and start early.
Yes, yes, yes. And Ione just shared the information on our to try our 90-day free trial membership by going to Better Investing website. And right on the front page at the very bottom, you'll see 90-day free membership. And we really encourage all of you. And if you're already a member, share it with a friend. And if you're not a member and you know someone that's interested in learning, share the 90-day free membership idea with them. And then you might have your own Beerstown Lady story where you where you go ahead and learn to invest and then later on come back and share with that person that they should have considered. So, Ione, for you, any closing comments before we wrap up?
No, I just want to thank you, Candace, for your time. I really appreciated
my pleasure
saying yes. It was exciting to learn about your journey and how you got pulled in as a treasurer, and I don't think you've left that treasurer seat
no.
yet. But it, you know, it is such beautiful to see the impact of Better Investing in the lives of individual people that don't even know about investing, and sometimes know about a different type of investing called trading. So thank you again, and we put in the chat the information for the St. Louis chapter because you host excellent events. You have an event coming up on the 26th of June, and you have model club meetings coming up. So we want people to just know more about the chapter and feel welcome to visit because as directors and as volunteers, we're always open and welcoming to visitors coming and listening in and asking questions. So
absolutely.
You.
We love it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We want to say thank you also to all of our volunteers. And you know, I get in trouble when I start calling people's names, but Anne is my namesake, Newman. So, you know, I have to give you a shout out. And then, of course, I'm going to get in trouble with everybody else whose name I did not call, but just y'all just pray for me. All right. I do want to say, Candace, I don't think you're having anybody in your chapter who wants to fight you for that position, by the way. So they can change the president, they can change the vice and the secretary, and they just get right over the treasurer. And
yes, they
so,
do.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. All right, well, we want to thank everybody. Candace, you've been such a joy, and we really would look forward to seeing you, like Ione said, in one of your Zoom meetings, one of your online
You're
meetings.
You're welcome all anytime.
Go to the webinar.
Yes, on the online. And then also, Sharon is in the model club with us, so we're going to give her a big thank you and a big hug for recommending that we should host you here. So to everybody, we got to say a good night, and we look forward to seeing you next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, every Wednesday, for hashtag MyInvestStory. We're going to ask you to comment, like, and share the show. All right, until then, I'm going to say good night. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
All right, good night. Thanks.
Goodbye.